You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, there are a couple of directions you can go to get the ball rolling with Pella. Number one, you can schedule a free in-home consultation. That's right, free. You're going to be able to get a Pella expert out to sit down with you, look at your home, and they're going to be able to put together a Greg McDermott-esque game plan for you that fits your budget, your wants, and your needs. That's one option. Or number two, you can head out to the showroom. Sometimes it helps to actually see the window and see the door, open it, close it, to get a better feel for exactly what you are putting into your home. The showroom is also a great place to start as well. In any direction you go, Pella will turn your window and door remodeling dreams into a reality. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. You know, in basketball, it's all about killer combos, right? Pick and roll, give and go, hedge and recover. Combos make life better. And Runza makes it all better, including my personal favorite combo, the cheese Runza and French fries. Oh, gosh, it's the best combo to hit the Midwest since Greg and Doug McDermott. Here's what you do. Cheese Runza in your right hand, French fries in your left hand. You just work both hands. Great balance with both hands. Ambidextrous and delicious. You got to love it. So get out to Runza and get your cheese Runza and French fries game right today. And while you're there, tell them your pal, Nick Baugh, sent you. Okay, we got a great podcast on deck for you today. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this. New Creighton basketball assistant coach Jalen Courtney Williams is on the pod. This conversation was great. I mean, he's got a unique basketball journey, and it's really cool to get his perspective on a variety of things with hoops and coaching and life. And I got to tell you, I was so impressed with him after this chat. And you can tell why he's got a bright future as a coach. And why he'd be an excellent recruiter as well. Obviously, a super important hire for Greg McDermott as they begin the process of rebuilding the roster and try to sustain their elite level of play on the floor. And certainly, Jalen Courtney Williams is going to play a vital role in that process. So let's get to it. Here is my podcast chat with new Creighton assistant coach Jalen Courtney Williams. Enjoy. All right, online now, Jalen Courtney Williams, brand new assistant coach at Creighton. Jalen, first of all, congratulations. Welcome to Creighton, my man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. This thing's been awesome so far. It's been a busy few days, but, man, the people here are amazing. The university is amazing. Coach Mack's been great, so I'm excited, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how fast these things move. I mean, just a few weeks ago, you're at McNeese State. Now you're at Creighton. Like, well, first of all, have you ever been? You grew up in Mississippi. Have you ever been to Omaha?
I've never been to Omaha. Never, never, and I never thought I'd be in Omaha.
That's the beauty of life and basketball, man. It'll take you places you never know.
This basketball game makes the world really, really small. But I'm thankful, man. I'm thankful and I'm excited. Omaha is really, really a cool place.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to really sinking my teeth into this place and making this place home, man.
Yeah, you know, I told you I won't keep you too long, but I got to start with the hard-hitting questions right away. I was reading some stuff. I read that your nickname is Bird, given by your high school coach. Wow. Give me wow. That. Is that because you're blocking shots or what? That was on the LSU. That's on the – I'm looking at your page. It's on the LSU page right now. Is that true?
Yeah, so I guess the first sentence says I was a bad player.
No.
And the second sentence says my nickname. Wow. We got to figure that one out.
We got to update it.
Yeah, no, my high school coach, Luther Riley, who's an unbelievable basketball coach in Mississippi, won a bunch of championships, coached the McDonald's game and the Jordan game and the whole nine, Nike All-American camps, the whole nine. You know, one night I was a freshman in that school, and I was playing against something, I forget who it was, but he kept shot faking me, man, and I kept jumping. You know, I'm jumping, and I was a decently athletic dude.
Yeah.
So I'm flying all over the place, man. This dude shot faking me, blowing by me. I'm ninth grade. And we go to halftime. He says, will you stop flying around like a bird out there? And I don't know, the next day, man, he called me Bird, and the teammates called me Bird, and somehow, some way, things stuck, man. And so that's been that. Golly, I can't believe you put that out there.
I was hoping it was like, yeah, because, you know, I block shots, I catch lobs. Like, I was hoping
that happened too, but nobody cared about that, right?
Right.
We get blown by a few times off a shot fake. That's the only thing that matters. So, I wish it was that cool of a story. No, it was...
Well, here's the thing. We can rewrite it. You know, no one can fact check this stuff now. If we want to change it, that, you know, in ninth grade you had like 7 blocks in the first half, caught a couple lobs, and they called you were flying high Bird. We can go with that.
Yeah, I like that one. Let's do it. Let's do that.
Let's go with that one. I want to back up as we're reflecting here on your journey, because I mean you're relatively young in the profession, just 28 years old. So you signed with LSU out of high school, played there for 3 years, then 2 years at Morehead State. What was the experience like at LSU playing for Johnny Jones?
It was great, man. It was great. So I have to say, I played 2 years under Trent Johnson and his staff.
Oh, okay, right? Gotcha. Yep.
So, you know, Trent Johnson was coming off of winning the SEC in 2009. I started in 2010 as a freshman. And so I want to say he was great. His staff was great. He moved on to TCU. After my sophomore year, and then Johnny Jones came in and kind of took the program in a different kind of direction.
Yeah.
And I think that was the introduction of, you know, when small ball was starting to really come to play. So, you know, everybody's trying to figure that out. So you start to move away from the traditional power forward and things like that. You start to space the floor a little bit more. So it was an interesting era that Johnny Jones had to usher in at LSU there. But man, it was a good experience. And like I told somebody the other day, man, I've been fortunate to be around a number of really good coaches, different coaches as well. You get to see, you know, the different perspectives and different ways that people do things, man. And I think that was the prime example right there. You get Trent Johnson, who did it one way and has had a lot of success as a head basketball coach, you know, at LSU, Stanford, the whole nine. And then you get Johnny Jones, who again, does it a different way, and he's had a lot of success, as you can see now. He just led his team at Texas Southern to an NCAA tournament.
Right. And, okay, so then you go to Morehead State. I'd imagine that style suits you better?
You know, it did. What I was really looking for, ironically enough, was I wanted a different scenery. I wanted to change the scenery.
Gotcha.
I wanted to get to know a new region, man. I you know, grew up in Mississippi and spent some time in Memphis as a youngster. And, you know, I just wanted to get to a different part of the country. And there was some familiarity there with Sean Woods and his assistant, BJ Ellis. They spent some time in Mississippi. And so from there, man, I felt comfortable with those guys just from their time in Mississippi. But now they were in a place where, you know, I wanted to be out in Kentucky. And it worked out, man. It was a good experience from there as well.
So, I mean, you're talking about learning and all these different, you know, coaches and systems and all those things. When did the coaching bug bite you? Was it when you were playing? Like, if I were to go ask all your teammates at LSU or at Morehead State, like, and said, hey, Jalen, like, did everybody know Jalen's going to coach one day? Like, was it like that or no?
You know, the funny thing about it, man, if you could talk to anybody. I mean, all my friends growing up, my teammates growing up, all the coaches that were around me, they'll all tell you that they told me a long time ago that I would be doing this and that I would be pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I did not buy into that theory until I graduated from Morehead State.
Okay.
To be honest with you, man, you know, you play this game and everybody wants to be a pro. And I was a decent enough player. I felt like I was going to have some professional chances. And then, you know, through some injuries, I battled a ton of knee injuries in college at LSU and Morehead. And, you know, things change, right? Things change.
Right.
And you have to figure out where to turn next. And while I was figuring myself out, man, I just happened to be with a good group of guys at Morehead who just continued to say the same thing that everybody else was saying, but I was just in a position to hear it and receive it a little bit differently. And so, you know, Sean Woods, BJ Ellis, who's out of the business now and having a successful life out of coaching, Preston Spradling, who was an unbelievable basketball coach, an unbelievable guy. You know, those were the guys that really sat me down and said, man, you don't understand. You have it, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know. I still don't know what it is. But, right. you know, they were really high on it, man. And I was just in a position to – I had to make a decision. Right. So I said, you know what, let's give it a try. And it's been an unbelievable ride thus far. It hasn't been long, but it's been
– right.
very fulfilling and it's been a big time adventure, I'll tell you that.
You know, so it's interesting. You know, I got to frame this the right way to make sure you take this the right way. Like I'm looking sure. at, cause I have, you and I have similar journeys. Like I was at Kansas for 2 years. I committed to Roy Williams. Then Roy left for Carolina and I played for Bill Self for 2 years. Then I transferred to Creighton and played for Dana Altman. And, yep. you know, so I mean, kind of similar to you, right? You know, LSU, then to Morehead State, coaching change in the midst of that changes some different things and all those and mm-hmm. all that. But like, you know, obviously, looking at your stats and shoot, you don't even have to go look at mine, man. like, you know, you weren't the All-American leading scorer, but I actually think sometimes not being the man helps you see the game better and ultimately be a better coach because you value every role. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
like does that make sense? Do you agree with that?
No, that's the perfect way to put it. And, you know, in hindsight, I think I was a big-time program guy, right? I mentioned yeah. my high school. We won. You know, we went to a state championship game every year for 4 years straight, won two in a row, lost two in a row. I still can't sleep on those two
Man,
losses.
Preach.
but just an unbelievable program guy, right?
Yep.
Where I understood a process, I understood culture, I understood some of those things. And then you add a degree of talent to that. But you're right. I was never the most heralded guy. I played with a lot of those guys and, you know, somehow I was able to have really good relationships with guys like that. And even in college, you know, in, like if you ever get a chance to talk to some of those guys I played with, I don't know, somehow they just became to me more important than me, right? Just
yeah.
figuring out how to get in the gym with guys and you know, all that stuff. And yeah. a lot of it was so I could get better, but even more of it was, man, I just understood the process and was fully bought into the people around me. And then through injury, you know, I'll be honest, through injury, I had to find ways to be impactful. You know, you had a decision. You sit and sulk, which I did
yeah, sure.
early,
right.
you know, as a young kid, you don't really know how to process things. But as I matured, again, through injury, man, I said, you know, I have to find a way to be impactful. So why not dive into my teammates? You know, I started spending more time in the offices and you know, learning some terminology, just learning different things, man. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. Again, paths change.
Sure.
I never thought that this would be my life, man. I never did. But, you know, like the guy said, when I made this decision, man, it's been an unbelievable ride up to this point.
So, okay, so after you end up at Mississippi State as a GA and the video coordinator, how'd you get yeah. hooked up with Ben Howland and Mississippi State?
Man, I got lucky. I think, like everybody in this business, there's a degree of luck in there. The timing was perfect. Like I said, when I finally made the decision to jump into it, Ben Howland had just taken a job over in Mississippi, and he's a California guy, and I guess was figuring out the lay of the land. And to be honest, it's a funny story. He wanted Alfred Aboya
okay.
to take that GA spot. You know, Alfred Aboya is, I think, is the all-time winningest yeah. player in UCLA history, and unbelievable person, by the way. He wanted Alfred Aboya to take that spot, but Alfred was hesitant. I think he was still playing at the time and didn't know if that's something he wanted to do. And so he strung it out, and it got late. It got late in the game, and I think now you would have to ask Coach Howland, but I think they were in a position where they had to find a GA and do it quickly, or they might lose out on the spot.
Right, right.
So I just happened to be available, and, you know, being a Mississippi guy and you know, people being able to connect those dots through recruiting, you know, back when I was coming through the ranks as a player, man, it was just kind of right place, right time kind of thing. And it was the best thing that could ever happen to me.
And listen, he's got, I mean, he was really good at UCLA. I mean, he's a very well-respected coach. What's maybe give me like the one thing you took from him.
I'll say so many things, man. And I hate to not be able to list them all, but I guess the underlying thing about him, man, is attention to detail. His attention to detail is at an all-time high. And, you know, as a young coach, he always kept me on my toes because he was so detail oriented, man, and process oriented. So, you know, I had to really slow myself down and really get to know the game, get to know his process at a real intimate level, man. And I think that's what's been able to help me, you know, moving through this journey.
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. And I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go into Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors. By Pella, won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of waves. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella Windows and Doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know I was a quarterback in high school. But you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger, some onion rings, double dipped in a homemade batter, little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. I'm curious, you know, you also have the title as video coordinator. When I actually was a GA for one season after I graduated in 2009, and this was before Synergy and all this stuff. So I had to put a blank DVD in like a FedEx envelope, send it to New Mexico and be like, put your game against Colorado State on it and send back. Like, what was your video experience like?
No, so, you know, I hear horror stories like that all the time from a lot of guys in the business. Thankfully, I was a video coordinator in 2017. So no VHS tapes. You didn't really have to travel to get games. No, it wasn't that kind of deal. You know, that thing's all streamlined.
That's fantastic.
Thank God.
That's fantastic. Okay, so then, all right, so then you get the assistant spot at McNeese State for Heath Schroyer. First big break, you know, because now you're officially an assistant, you're on the recruiting trail, and you clearly rose up fast, spent 3 years there. What's the learning experience and what you took away most from your time at McNeese State?
Being able to build relationships and not only from a recruiting standpoint, but just being able to coach the guys, right? Getting them to campus and then being able to coach them when you get them there, being able to relay messages that way. It was a big time learning experience for me where I really got to bump my head and just get better, really cut my teeth, man. Coach Schroyer was unbelievable. Really, really, really good offensive mind, man. There we had a top 25 offense in the country every year. And, you know, credit to him. He really helped me sharpen my toolbox offensively, along with Coach Allen. I tell people all the time, the beautiful thing about the video coordinator experience, I had a chance to really spend a lot of time shoulder to shoulder with Coach Allen and to start to see the game through the eyes of he'll be a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, right.
All that stuff was great for me, man, and just really being able to hone my skills as a coach, hone my skills in recruiting, hone my skills just as a professional, man. It was a really, really, really good opportunity for me. And I think we did some really cool things there amidst what ended up happening. I don't know if you were aware.
Yeah, right, the hurricane.
The storms, yeah. The hurricanes, man. Right. That was a devastating ordeal that we went through. But, you know, in spite of that, in 3 years, all in all, I think we did some really cool things. And I got a chance to grow, so I'm thankful for that community and that university. And I'm thankful for Coach Schroyer for taking a chance on the young kid.
Right.
And, you know, here we are, man. Here we are.
So, here we are at Creighton. And had you crossed paths with Greg McDermott at all prior to when he starts, you know, he makes the phone call to you to potentially come to Creighton? Had you known him at all?
No. Outside of being a basketball fan and junkie and spending a lot of hours, you know, studying the game and seeing his teams, no. Not at all.
That's amazing how that can work, though. You know, it's wild. I got to ask you, because there's a lot to unpack with this, but I got to ask you about Greg McDermott's. You know, he had the comments in the locker room a few months ago that certainly made headlines. And I'm curious, as a black man now being pursued to work for Greg McDermott at Creighton, give me the what was the process you went through in learning and researching about that situation and about Greg McDermott?
Well, I guess to start unpacking this is two things, right? Like, I was just like the rest of the country, the rest of the world, I was taken back, man, when that stuff hit the internet, right? And it's a headline like that is going to send the country into a whirl spin.
Yep.
Obviously, so I was just like the rest of the country, kind of taking that stuff in, and of course, when you read it the first time, initially you take offense to it, right?
Sure.
You know, just being honest. And then just spending time with the statement, starting to unpack it, I said, well, no way he meant what we're thinking he meant, right? No way. It's no way. It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, you fast forward to the process where I actually have a chance to speak to him and sit down with him. And that was a real conversation, man. A real raw conversation where I had an opportunity to ask him, you know, what was going through his mind and you know, what he meant and all that stuff. And you know what I found out through that process? And first of all, let me say, since I've had an opportunity to get to know him on a personal level, him, his family, they've been the most generous people I've come across in this thing, you know, no matter what your color is. And I think if you spend time, but you spend time around him and people that know him well, I mean, everybody says the same thing. So I definitely want to say that first. But through real and raw conversation, I discovered that it was more of a cultural perspective error, right? You know, so I'm talking to him and I'm finding out how he grew up and where he grew up. And I realized a word like that, right? A word like plantation for him, for the kid that grew up on a farm or plantation,
Cascade,
so
Iowa.
To speak, in Iowa,
yeah.
right? For that kid, that word means a completely different thing to the kid that grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, the black kid that grew up in Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
You know, and That was a big time moment for me to realize, wow, not only do words have meaning and power, but words mean different things to different people in different regions and different spaces. And so what I found was an unbelievable opportunity to educate him, which he's opened himself up for not only criticism, but education, and credit to him, man. So just we have an opportunity to educate one another, to bring different kind of people together and have conversations that maybe wouldn't normally be had.
Right.
And he's the front runner for that, man. So no, I'm proud of him. And like I said, through some real and raw conversation,
That's cool.
That's the conclusion I came to.
Sure.
And I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to be alongside of him. And you know, let's educate the people,
that's
man,
it.
Just like we're educating him. And he's opening himself up for it. And so I think a lot of other people should do the same.
Right. You know, I mean, it's you know, through mistakes can become great learning opportunities. And that's kind of how I see this thing. And so, yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's I wanted to ask you about that because, you know, it's interesting. You and I were texting a little bit and you said, you know, about, hey, listen, the back end of this thing can be positive, you know. I think it's all about how you want to approach it and unpack it.
Like, Nick, tell me what you think about this. He made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And I don't want to be dismissive of
the mistake in the word and all that.
What was
said.
Right. I mean, he said it, and that's a real thing. You don't know what you don't know, but man, words impact people, right? And I think our country is dealing with things like that in different facets, not just race, but you know, religion and politics and gender, you know, all this stuff, right?
Right.
Words have meaning. But again, I said it's positive on the back end because through some of these hard, tough conversations, we have an opportunity to really educate one another and bridge a gap and find common ground.
Right.
So I'm like I said, man, I'm so happy and proud that he's been able to learn and grow and expose himself to not only criticism but education, man.
Right.
That's the only way we get better and grow. He made a mistake and he's owned up to it, and I can stand by a man like that.
Yep.
And you know, I can stand by a man like that.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it was even cool, Jalen, talking to him when he was going through it all. You know, he was because he's still going through it. You know, this isn't like a thing that it's over. Like, it's, you know, this is an ongoing thing, obviously.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And,
no,
you know, it's cool. He was like, you know, I've spent every day, you know, calling all my former players, you know, and he's like, these aren't 5-minute conversations. These are 45-minute conversations. And,
right.
You know, he's just – so I really think he's taken it. Like, he's owned it. There's been no excuses. You know, that's all you can do. Like, you make a mistake, you deal with it head on, you try to make yourself better because of it, and I think he's in that process. So,
right.
I think
you've seen it up close for a number of years. I've been around for a few days. The way he loves these kids, man,
yeah,
and the way that they take to him, and the way that, you know, in a short amount of time, he's embraced me, embraced my family, my little girls, the whole nine.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most caring dudes I've been around in a long time.
That's I'm right there with you, man. I've been around a lot of coaches and a lot of people in this sport, and he's right at the top of the list. You know.
Yeah, man. So hey, man. Let's. I tell people all the time, let's educate him and let's not punish him, man.
Sure.
Educate him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I told him I'm taking him. By the way, I'm taking him to Mississippi. We're gonna ride around Mississippi.
There we go. That'd be
and,
good.
We're going to have some conversations with some people. It's going to be fun, man. I'm excited for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by White Castle Roofing. White Castle can handle everything from replacements to repairs. And a White Castle Roofing expert can come out to your home and give you an honest assessment of your roof, even if that means nothing needs to be done. One of the best decisions I've made is to go with White Castle Roofing when my roof had some hail damage back in Omaha. And listen, when it comes to your roof, you don't want to mess around. You need people you can trust, and trust me, you can trust White Castle Roofing. When I had some hail damage, working with White Castle was smooth, it was easy, and most importantly, it was done right. If you're like me, way out of my element with this stuff. So I need people that communicate every step of the way from start to finish. White Castle did just that. They're all about quality. They're all about craftsmanship. The crews are knowledgeable. They care about the details. And cleanup is a top priority. And when it's all finished, the roof looks great. It's going to last for years. So whether it's for your home or your business, make the smart move and go with White Castle Roofing. Check them out, whitecastleroofing.com. That's whitecastleroofing.com. White Castle Roofing, built with trust, proven by time. The reality is, Jalen, sometimes, and you know that, like, sometimes a salesman is only as good as what he is selling. And I may be biased since I played at Creighton, but it certainly feels like there's a lot to sell recruits with playing at Creighton on a variety of levels.
How
excited are you to now get in front of people and pitch Creighton? Like, That's got to be a heck of an opportunity for you.
Oh, man, I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up. I mean, it's like you said, it's so much to sell between, you know, you start with the league, right?
Yep.
A historical league that at one point was carrying college basketball, and I think it's trending in that direction again.
Yeah.
You know, and then for me, what's so unique, coming from the South and coming from SEC territory, Big 12 territory, football's king, man. Football's king in a lot of those areas.
Yeah.
And my college experience was being second fiddle to football. Well, at Creighton and the Big East, man, there's no football.
Nope.
There's no football. So basketball is the most important thing for a lot of these people, man. And there's nothing more exciting than being able to walk into a gym and there's 17,000 strong.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And that's something that even as a player, you know, at a place like you know, like LSU and the SEC, is something I never experienced, man. Now you see it at football games,
right? Yeah.
You see 100,000 strong at football games, but to be able to walk into a basketball arena and, you know, be supported like that's I think is second to none, man. So no, I'm fired up, man. And then our facilities and the whole nine,
yeah.
And our style of play, I think it's second to none. I really do.
What
were
you? Have you your kind of role? Have you discussed about what your role will be specifically in terms of, like, are you going to work with the big guys? Just because you were like, how will that work? Because, you know, you have some guys that are like specializing with the guards and all that stuff. Like,
sure.
Are you going to work with the bigs?
Sure. You know what? I think.
Is that still getting worked out?
It's still getting worked out a little bit, but yeah. But I tell you what, I have a real developmental background.
Yeah.
So, you know, work with perimeter, work with bigs, the whole nine. But our staff is really, really dynamic, man.
Yeah.
Our staff is really dynamic. A lot of talented guys on the staff. Everybody knows Huss. Ryan Miller's another one that with a ton of experience and a ton of talent at developing guys as well. So between the three of us and Coach Mack at the top of us, man, I think we'll be able to figure some of those things out and make sure everybody's in the right spot. But my number one goal, Nick, is to come in and bring a level of energy and excitement to this place that, and it's already an unbelievable place as it is, but that's my number one goal. Every single day when I walk into the office or walk on the practice floor,
I like it, man. Bring
that level of edge, energy, and excitement. And then from there, man, we'll fill in the blanks. Whatever Coach Mack, you know, needs to be done. I think, like I said, our staff is really dynamic. We'll be able to do some of those things. We have a lot of really good offensive minds, really good defensive minds in this thing. We have unbelievable recruiters in here, and you know, all these guys are really good at what they do, man. So we'll be able to figure some of those things out and work together and come out on top, man.
What I'm curious what the process is like with recruiting now for you, because you know how it is, Jalen, every coach has different preferences for players. Every system's a little different. So naturally, a fit for McNeese State or Mississippi State or wherever may not fit at Creighton. What's that process like in terms of getting a feel of what types of players Coach McDermott likes and what he's looking for?
Right. To be honest, man, it's pretty seamless because the way Coach Matt coaches the game, the style of play here at Creighton is how I think the game should be played and coached.
Right.
It translates really, really well to the professional level. If you're talking NBA, if you're talking EuroLeague basketball, you see a lot of the same things. You see a lot of the same spacing, the same schemes. You see guys really, really being able to stretch the floor at multiple spots. I think that's how the game should be played. And
right.
if there was a better way to do it, the NBA would do it, right?
Right.
So for me, it's just a joy to be in a position where I get to coach the game of basketball the way I think it should be coached. I there are a lot of guys out there that you know, having to coach a brand of basketball that they don't agree with.
Right.
You know, and we all have a job to do. But man, I'm blessed and fortunate to be in a position where this is basketball.
Right.
You know, this is basketball. So, you know, for me, just going out and finding the right guys that are the right fit for this style of play, and more importantly, the university. I mean, you know, recruiting's a challenge at any level. But
absolutely,
man, I'm excited to do it.
Three things, Jalen, we're out of here, and then you can go do your thing, man. How do you – I got to ask you about the transfer portal and the new rule with players that being able to transfer and don't have to sit out. I mean, that's a game changer, obviously. How does that
–
how do you kind of view all that? How does that impact what you do?
Man, you just have to adapt. You have to adapt. And I think my background, your background, I think really, really relates to what some of these kids are going through. I mean, we were in the portal before it was a portal, right?
Yeah. That's right.
You know, it wasn't a cool thing to do back
then,
but now, you know, that's the climate we're in, and to be able to navigate the portal and speak to the portal is something that I didn't think would come in handy, but hey, you know, that's the background we come from.
Right.
And, you know, you do the best you can with what you got, and you try to find guys that really want to jump in and be all about, you know, creating basketball, and you know, it just gives you an opportunity at a different level of kid where guys have been through scout reports, guys have been through travel, and they played a full season and they've lifted and all that stuff. So the portal has some exciting advantages to it for sure. But let's not forget about those high school kids and the junior college kids. Let's not forget about those guys either. You just have to, like you mentioned, man, you just have to find the right fit and commit to your guys, man, the way you ask them to commit to you.
You know, Jalen, I'm curious how you'd answer this, because you know, you hear certain coaches like, hey, assistant coach X, he's got great ties in the state of Texas or whatever, right? Like, how do you build those things? Like, how does, okay, like, for your ties and your contacts, like, is it just simple, like, getting out, meeting people, staying in contact with them? Like, what are those ties really look like and how they're built and forged?
You know, different people might answer this question differently. I'll try to just be honest. For me, man, I have a love for people. I have a love for building relationships and getting to know people and getting to know perspectives, right? So as I travel the country and travel the world, that's what I do. You know, I try to really dig in and sink my teeth into where I am. And a lot of times that just happens to result in relationships that can point you in the right direction when it comes to players.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, I'm looking forward to bringing a different element to Creighton.
Right.
Bringing some Southern guys to Omaha.
Yup.
Yep. I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, man, I think we have an ability here at Creighton to really spread our wings, no pun intended, right, with the new day, but to really spread our wings across the country and even internationally to be able to just get the right guys in here and we can all call this place home.
Right.
Different people might answer that question a bunch of different ways. But for me, man, it's just having a love for people and relationships and perspective, right?
Right. Jalen Courtney Williams. Jalen, hey, man, I know you got a million things on your plate right now, so I thank you for the time. Again, welcome to Creighton, and if you need anything, you got my number now, so I'm just a phone call away if you need anything, my man.
No, I appreciate it. Hey, I want you to know, I was listening to this podcast actually the other day, and I had no idea I'd ever be on it, so this is really cool. This is a great experience for
me.
That's
awesome, man. I appreciate you. I really do, man. This was great. I'm glad we got to do this, and be in touch, and best of luck.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
All right. My thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
Production.